This morning, the scripture we're going to read is from Malachi 3, 1-4, found on 838 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bible. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they represent offerings, till they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of the Lord.
It is the gospel. This is the gospel of John. If you are willing and able, please stand. Let us read and hear the word. This is John 14, beginning with the 27th verse. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now that I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Word of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Peace to you. And to you. Thank you. You know, if you're in Israel and you walked up to somebody and greeted them, what would you say? Shalom. Shalom. If you're an Arab, I better get over next to my notes here. I won't always say it right, and I don't always do it. What would you say if you greeted each other? Shalom alaikum. The word is an interesting word, isn't it? This is the candle of peace. I should explain. We started out, Don is much more organized than I am and had all of the things lined up for music and everything. And I said, I want to do the four candles in order. I want to do faith, hope, peace, and love. Somebody see a problem with that? This is the second Sunday and this is peace, you see. I was going to do hope, but next week, the cantata is next week, so I won't be preaching. These two, I don't know what to do with them. Given the events, though, in the world, I thought peace might be one we needed to deal with. I thought peace needed to be something we need to talk about. Peace needed to be central to who and what we're about as we're gathering here. I don't know about you, but it feels unpeaceful. It feels like the world is in turmoil. Colorado Springs, that's not very far away. San Bernardino, that's not that far away either. I mean, if we could put it across the oceans and try and ignore it, but it is in our midst. And so peace becomes a problem. So let's be about peace, shall we? So what does that mean, peace to you? Peace. Shalom. Shalom. It's like that Hawaiian term. Paya, what's that Hawaiian term when you greet each other and say hello, and also when you say goodbye in Hawaiian? Say it again. Aloha. Yeah. Peace can become like that. And shalom. Here's the Israelis saying shalom and the Arabic people saying shalom. And that's the least shalomic place in the world right now, isn't it? I don't know if shalomic is a word. But we are at a place where the word needs to be held onto a little bit more firmly somehow. The Greek word is irene. Say that with me. Irene. It doesn't roll off the tongue quite like peace or shalom, does it? But it comes from an interesting root. The root of the word is Iro. It's spelled E-I-R-O. Iro is how it's pronounced. And the word Iro means to join or to make something whole. That's a pretty wild term, to make something whole. Peggy could have played a piece of the prelude and gotten to the two-thirds of the way through and just stopped. How would that have worked? Peggy's shaking her head at me very determinedly. It's not whole. It has to be the complete thing. The bells could have been ringing. We could have taken out two or three bells right here in the middle. How would it have sounded? So Iro is everything, all of it together, all of it whole, all of it complete. And peace needs to be a piece of that. And shalom needs to say a piece of that. So from now on, instead of greeting each other by saying shalom, I think we're going to say howdy. Y'all. Mark put that in there. Howdy, y'all. We used to do that in Wyoming. Howdy, y'all. How do you say goodbye in Wyoming? Adios. There we go. See y'all or what have you. But maybe we need to take that word peace and somehow make it more important again. Bring it back to where there is something. Because you see, they were interviewing a guy in Baghdad, Iraq. You've heard of Iraq? You heard of Baghdad? They were interviewing this fella, and they said, this fella says, you know, back in the good old days when Saddam Hussein was the dictator, he says, it was much more peaceful in Baghdad. You could walk the streets any time of the day or night. You could come and go. Nobody would rob you. There were no protests. There were no shootouts. There were no bombings. It was peaceful. Sure was peaceful. You said anything naughty, what would happen to you? And if you got away, if you did something and then ran off, what would happen? Your family would pay the price. A harsh, violent dictator had suppressed anything that didn't fit with his agenda. That is not the peace that Jesus Christ is talking about when he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That's not the peace he's talking about. There's no democracy in that peace. There's no rights in that peace. How many of you have rights? You can all put your hands up. How many are them? That's important to you. That's important to us. If you want to give up your rights, we can make peace happen. Dictators around the world are happy to help you see that. There is no equality in peace. There's no justice in peace. There's that justice word again. What's the name of that statue? The woman, she's got a blindfold on and she's holding the scales. Blind justice. Blind justice. And what happens if one plate is fuller than the other one? There is no justice. There is no balance. There is none of that. And so justice has a huge piece in what we're all about and where we are. You know, there's peace between North Korea and South Korea right now. We have armed guards walking up and down that border making sure that there's peace, don't we? Is that the kind of peace that Jesus Christ is calling for? I don't think so. I don't think it's working. You ever heard of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? He said, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, but the presence of justice. The presence of justice, that's an unsettling idea that's how that has to be. And think back a moment. I was watching the news, and I've been watching since Ferguson, Missouri, and the summer, and these protests, and the news in Paris, and the news and watching all this, and it reminded me of 1968. I was alive then, not by much, but I was watching the evening news, 1968, and the civil rights movement had erupted. We wouldn't call that peace, would we? But Martin Luther King was about peacing. I don't know if that's a word or not, but we're going to use it for a little while here if that's all right with you. He was about trying to do something about peace because peace was about bringing justice. And sometimes you've got to stir up the mud before you can get things settled the right way. And I don't think we're done with that journey yet. Signs are that we began the process, but some of that, just some of the hatred and the anger, and it kind of grew into knots that are hidden. And those need to be excised. I want to say a little bit about ISIL. You've heard about ISIL. ISIL, ISIS. They keep renaming themselves, or I don't know what you want to call them. They are not Muslim. They are terrorists. They are extremists. They are people who have intolerance. I guess that's the primary term that comes to me, is there's one way to believe, and they have defined that into a little box. And if you fit in the box and do it exactly their way to their rules, it's okay. And anything outside that box is not okay. But it doesn't have to do with religion. That's not coming out of the Muslim tradition, out of the Quran. That's any more than Christianity comes out of the KKK or the white supremacists. If we begin to start vilifying Muslims based on what's happening, ISIL wins. Think about that. They would like to see that division. They would like to inspire our hating anybody. Because if they turn us to hate, well, we've lost anyway. Because that's not whose we are. We belong to the Prince of Peace, the King who leads us into peace and justice. Today's candle is the peace candle. And I want you to think about what that means. Does it mean the peace of North and South Korea being at peace with each other? Does it mean the peace of a suppressed Baghdad under Saddam Hussein? What does that peace mean? You see, we turn to the other reading, Malachi. Interesting, he said he's referring to Christ. He says, he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will purify the faithful. What is fuller's soap? Can anybody help me? It's what? Mark says he thinks it's like a lye soap. So it makes things very, very white. What's a better analogy? What brings the whitest clothes today? Bleach. Let's reread it that way. He's like a refiner's fire and like bleach. He will purify the faithful. You know, I have a problem there. I don't. He needs to go purify ISIL. He needs to go purify those other bad guys. He needs to go purify. But it's not what it says. He says he will purify the faithful. That's what we claim to be. That's us. So what's... It's about us. It's about us. You see, peacing is not about suppressing someone else, changing someone else. It's about beginning by changing us. After events happen on the TV, my first reaction is anger. And boy, I want to see us use all of the might of the United States and make things right. And that anger, I realize, is coming out of another emotion, which is probably fear. There's a lot of fear. And people out of fear will do amazing things, and often the wrong things. But as I recall, the first candle we lit was the candle of faith. And as a people of faith, we have nothing to fear. And we have to be there. And so this purifying, this refining, this bleaching is about us remembering whose we are. Letting go of the hate, letting go of the fear, naming those, understanding that they're there and not letting them rule us. And that intolerance. That intolerance. I think there's going to be a whole sermon on intolerance one of these days. It's an interesting topic, how much things have to be just exactly right for us, isn't it? You put the toilet paper roll on the wall. The paper has to go which way? There's only one way that's right, isn't there? See, it's intolerance. Did I just poke my finger in your eye a little? And I'm guilty. Melissa will put the toilet paper on the roll, and I'll switch it. That's part of how we are. It's about being in control, too, isn't it? It's about ordering things our way, and it isn't ever our way, it's His way. And we need to be about that. So now this is communion. This is time to come, and again, I want to help you understand. Neil and I will serve you at the table if you're able to come up and Neil. And if you'd rather, we'll have Emmanuel and helpers down here to serve you here. And we will bring the elements to you as well. But we're going to serve Peggy first. I have to always remember to serve Peggy first. But as you come forward, you're coming forward to be one with our Maker, one with our Savior, one as disciples. And as you do, ask in your heart, what piece of piecing do you need to do? What part of the journey is ours in being the disciples of Jesus Christ? Turn with me in your hymnals, page number 13.